Lent is half spent. It is hard to believe we have passed the midpoint of Lent, and it's time to revisit the first fervor of our intentions for this season of grace. It isn't easy to hold to Lenten resolutions, and by now we may be tempted to give up on them. Maybe some of us never quite got into the spirit of Lent 2008. However, judging from the reports of church attendance on Ash Wednesday, many people did embrace this season. It is time to renew our hope, and it is time to start over again, because beginning is everything. Why bother with Lent in the first place? It is easy enough to ignore religion and faith in general. But despite our secular culture, most of us know that there is much more to life and reality than meets the eye. We sense in our hearts a thirst and a quest for God. We know we need God. Lent is a timely opportunity to reaffirm our faith in God. It is a fresh chance to let God and ourselves know how much we need Him. Faith is like muscle. Faith needs to be put to work and exercised if it is to remain strong. In fact, without exercise, faith, like muscle, becomes weak and useless, even disabled. Faith will deteriorate without practice. Like other values, deteriorating faith doesn't disappear suddenly, nor does it make much noise on leaving. It just closes the door quietly behind, and one day we wake up to what seems like a sudden departure, but never was really sudden. Faith deteriorates gradually and slowly and decisively. We exercise faith by praying. Like any relationship or friendship or marriage, our relationship with God requires communication. Our relationship to God, like a marriage, must be tended and cultivated. Without open communication, a marriage or any other friendship deteriorates. Love of God, like a marriage, like friendship, which was whole in the first place, doesn't collapse suddenly. It deteriorates slowly and quietly without prayer, without communication. And so Lent is a timely reminder that we need to renew the fervor of our communication with God. We need to renew our practice of prayer, usually by adding something extra to our prayer life. And we need to fast. We are not disembodied souls or spirits. We are body and spirit together. It is well to remember that the body has a memory. Our bodies are privileged points of access and exchange between our spirit and the environment. For example, how we act sexually is always important because of the deep reverberations which sexuality has in the body and in the spirit. Established patterns have a way of settling in deeply and leaving traces. The body remembers in a preconscious kind of way that is deeper and different than the conscious mind. Anyone who tries to root out an old habit knows how true this is. The body has a memory for the good life, and a rebellious spirit, once in charge, has a way of worming its way into the bone. Life in Lent gives us an opportunity to root out bad habits. Voluntary fasting is a great way to counter a rebellious spirit and to uproot memories of untoward behavior. Fasting from food or meat or drink can be wholesome for body and spirit. So can the discipline of physical exercise. Above all, we are obliged to fast from immoral behavior. Our church teaches us to avoid the occasion of sin. The rabbis spoke about the importance of building a fence around the law. Before we break the moral law, we should know when we are in dangerous territory and headed in the wrong direction. We should fast from occasions of sin, and it doesn't take much reflection to know what they are. And when we sin, the church gives us the opportunity to confess, to repent, to find reconciliation with God and each other. The sacrament of penance and reconciliation is a splendid opportunity to renew our faith and our love for God. Forgiveness of our sins is the very reason Jesus suffered and died for us. It is the great gift we celebrate on Easter Sunday. This sacrament, like Lent itself, is a chance for a new beginning. Beginning is connected to small gestures, not good intentions. Finally, we might do well to consider whether we have accepted the special grace of Lent that moves us to more active charity. Again, beginning is everything. We're familiar with the saying, charity begins at home. Our homes and places of work or study are the most immediate opportunities we have for the small gestures of charity that build into a habit for a lifetime. It is not too late to start. Beginning is everything.